A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists in their own words on Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Part 7. Scientist number 31. Quote, "The statistical analysis underlying the hockey stick was thoroughly trashed." Close quote. Professor G. Cornelis Van Cooten, Ph.D., Professor and Senior Canada Research Chair in Environmental Studies and Climate and Adjunct Professor of the Institute for Integrated Energy Systems at the University of Victoria's Department of Economics. Former Chair of the Department of Applied Economics and Statistics at the University of Nevada. Co-author of The Economics of Nature, Blackwell, Oxford, 2000. IPCC reviewer and contributing author. Professor Van Cooten has never been under any illusions about the hockey stick. Quote, "Scientists manipulated paleoclimatic data and the peer review process to make the case that average global temperatures had been stable for 1,000 years or more. Despite efforts to block access to data and attempts to prevent critics from publishing their research, the hockey stick story has now been thoroughly discredited. There is no scientific basis to support this view of the world. Today's temperatures are no different than those experienced in the past 2 millennia." Close quote. Mark, "But if there is no scientific basis to support this view of the world, how did it become the world's best-known scientific graph? Nature is a prestigious scientific journal, but it is, in the end, only a journal. What catapulted Michael E. Mann to global celebrity was the 2001 Third Assessment Report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, as Professor Van Cooten wrote in December 2012. Quote, "After having been a reviewer of the third report, putting in quite a bit of time and then totally ignored, I viewed the process as nothing more than a sham. The IPCC's third assessment report basically relied on the hockey stick to make the case that current temperatures were higher than those experienced by humans in the last 1,500 to 2,000 years. Subsequently, the statistical analysis underlying the hockey stick was thoroughly trashed, but there are some who continue to think otherwise, which is disappointing. The hockey stick was such a nice device for showing the supposed link between CO2 and temperatures. The concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere was flat until it began to rise at the time of the Industrial Revolution in Europe. If temperatures could be shown to follow the same trend, presto." Close quote. Mark, "Presto indeed. The third assessment report made the hockey stick a household name, in that Western government sent it to every household in the land in order to sell the Kyoto Accord. Because it was so successful at selling Kyoto in pretty much the entire developed world except the United States, Al Gore put it in his movie, An Inconvenient Truth. Because An Inconvenient Truth was a box office hit and an Oscar winner, education departments around the globe began showing it to school children, and soon the hockey stick became the easiest shorthand for every slacktivist who wanted to get a swig of the planet-saving juice without having to plow through a lot of boring peer-reviewed papers. The hockey stick was no longer science. It was an icon of the new millennium's new religion." Scientist number 32, quote, "Common sense in science tells you to be a bit skeptic about any investigation which throws old truths away and gives a completely new picture. Not so in this case." Close quote. Dr. Lars Kamel, Ph.D., former professor in the University of Uppsala's Department of Astronomy and Space Physics. Mark, "Why was the hockey stick so valuable to the IPCC? Because the easiest riposte to big climate alarmism is, quote-unquote, natural variability. If the planet was as warm as this a few centuries back and things worked out fine, then what's the big deal? Thus, man's great gift to the climate catastrophists is that he abolished the very idea of natural variability. In Manworld, nothing much happened to the climate for 900 years, and then it leapt in the air like a startled cat. In 2003, Dr. Kamel wrote, quote, that the climate could vary so much by natural means was a problem for the climate catastrophists, who wanted to claim that almost all of the climate change of the 20th century was due to man. If natural variations could do this before 1850, maybe they were responsible also for changes after 1850? To the relief of the catastrophists, a new study which questioned the old view, Mann et al., 1999, was published. According to this new study, the world was somewhat colder 1,000 years ago than it is today. Then followed 850 years of almost linear and slow cooling. In the middle of the 19th century, this was abruptly switched to a warming. Common sense in science tells you to be a bit skeptic about any investigation which throws old truths away and gives a completely new picture. Preferably, scientists wait for more research, which either supports or disproves the new view, before they decide what to think about the new investigation. Not so in this case. IPCC immediately adopted man's reconstruction as the truth about the past climate of the world. The politicians and laymen should be in no doubt that the evolution of the world's climate in the past 1,000 years was decided once and for all. A closer inspection of the study in question shows some peculiarities. The temperature indicators, which were used, in fact, end in 1980, when the temperature is a little bit colder than in 1940. To give the impression of a rapid warming in the end of the 20th century, the calculations from the weather stations have been added to the diagram. Close quote. As Dr. Kamel wrote in The Rise and Fall of a Hockey Stick, quote, it came as no surprise to me when several new investigations showed that the hockey stick analysis was full of faults and errors. In 2003, I considered the immediate acceptance of the hockey stick by IPCC as the scientific truth to be pseudoscientific. Soon thereafter, it turned out that the hockey stick itself may well be an example of pseudoscience. There could be no doubt that the hockey stick is broken. It was, at best, the result of bad science and a programming error. Close quote. Scientist number 33, quote, it is strange that the climate reconstruction of man passed both peer review rounds of the IPCC without anyone ever really having checked it. Close quote. Dr. Rob Van Dorland, PhD, researcher at KNMI, the Royal Netherlands Meteorological Institute, IPCC, lead author. Mark. The IPCC assessment reports run to thousands of pages, far too many for the average government minister or even his flunkies. So what matters is the so-called SPM, the Concise Summary for Policymakers. In 2001, the hockey stick graph was the only climate reconstruction to make it to the SPM and the only quote-unquote proof offered of the summary's most dramatic assertion. Quote, the increase in temperature in the 20th century is likely to have been the largest of any century during the past 1,000 years. It is also likely that, in the Northern Hemisphere, the 1990s was the warmest decade and 1998 the warmest year. Close quote. Mark. The graph and its stark conclusion would prove invaluable when it came to marketing Kyoto, because man's stick was the most graspable visualization of the urgency, as Professor Wallace Smith Broker told the Wall Street Journal. Quote, because the graph so neatly strengthened the case for man-made warming, Dr. Broker says, a lot of people grabbed that hockey stick. Close quote. Broker, the man who coined the term global warming, was now watching man reduce it to a cartoon. As Dr. Van Dorland commented in 2005, quote, it's really too definitive a statement. Truthfully, we are far from knowing with certainty how natural climate factors, such as volcanic eruptions and solar activity, affect the Earth's climate. The IPCC made a mistake by only including man's reconstruction and not those of other researchers. For now, I will consider it an isolated incident, but it is strange that the climate reconstruction of man has passed both peer review rounds of the IPCC without anyone ever really having checked it. I think this issue will be on the agenda of the next IPCC meeting in Peking this May. Close quote. Mark, oddly enough, it wasn't. But what exactly did Dr. Van Dorlen mean by, quote-unquote, peer review in the context of the IPCC? Peer review at scientific journals means that every paper submitted gets reviewed by, generally, anonymous referees with expertise in the field. Peer review at the IPCC means something quite different. Reviewers propose changes and clarifications which can be accepted or rejected. But control remains within a tight group under the charge of each chapter's lead authors. In this case, it meant that contributing author man got peer reviewed by lead author man, which worked out swell for both of them. Scientist number 34. Quote, a reconstruction of the climate which Mr. Mann created and which distorted too many people's views on climate. Close quote. Professor Wibjorn Karlen, Ph.D., Professor Emeritus of Physical Geography and Quaternary Geology at Stockholm University, member of the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences. In 2011, Professor Karlen observed, quote, the first of man's reconstructions of the temperature, which covered the period from the 15th century and up to 1980, were based on relatively few tree ring series. The hockey stick was an important argument in the IPCC report, and Mann was given the responsibility for the paleoclimatology chapter of the IPCC's 2001 report. Of course, Mann's views on climate dominated it. Close quote. Mark, in quote-unquote peer review terms, it's as if Mann were simultaneously the author of the paper, the anonymous reviewer, and the editor-in-chief of Nature. He had never contributed to the IPCC reports before. Indeed, at the time of the second assessment report, 1995, he did not yet have his Ph.D. and was an unknown student. Yet, from never having served as a co-author or reviewer, Mann was instantly appointed to the most senior level of IPCC contributor. Great consequences flowed from this decision. Professor Karlen made his remarks above in the context of a review of A.W. Montfort's expose, The Hockey Stick Illusion. Quote, this book provides a detailed picture of the efforts a large team of researchers put into defending the, quote-unquote, hockey stick, a reconstruction of the climate which Mr. Mann created and which distorted too many people's views on climate. The climate reconstruction has resulted in a number of policy decisions that are not justified. Close quote. Mark, the public and even many political leaders think the IPCC reports represent the consensus of thousands of experts compressed into one balanced overview. Not in the case of Mann's chapter. 10 years later, Professor John Christie explained, quote, regarding the hockey stick of IPCC 2001 evidence now indicates, in my view, that an IPCC lead author working with a small cohort of scientists misrepresented the temperature record of the past 1,000 years by A, promoting his own result as the best estimate, B, neglecting studies that contradicted his, and C, amputating another's result so as to eliminate conflicting data and limit any serious attempt to expose the real uncertainties of these data. Close quote. Mark, the lead author in question was Michael E. Mann. Who? The rather unusual fact, as Christie put it, was that for the first time in IPCC history, a critical chapter was under the control of a lead author who had been awarded a Ph.D. only a few months before. Scientist number 35. Quote, Mann misrepresented the temperature record of the past 1,000 years. Close quote. Professor John Christie, Ph.D., Distinguished Professor of Atmospheric Science and Director of the Earth System Science Center at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, recipient of NASA's Medal for Exceptional Scientific Achievement and the American Meteorological Society's Special Award for his role in developing the first successful satellite temperature record. Mark, On March 31, 2011, Professor Christie testified before Congress and gave a glimpse of how Mann, as a lead author of the IPCC report that was to make him a star, misrepresented the temperature record of the past 1,000 years in order to promote his hockey stick. Quote, in our September 1999 meeting, Arusha, Tanzania, we were shown a plot containing more temperature curves than just the hockey stick, including one from Kay Briffa, that diverged significantly from the others, showing a sharp cooling trend after 1960. It raised the obvious problem that if tree rings were not detecting the modern warming trend, they might also have missed comparable warming episodes in the past. In other words, absence of the medieval warming in the hockey stick graph might simply mean tree ring proxies are unreliable, not that the climate really was relatively cooler. The Briffa curve created disappointment for those who wanted a nice, tidy story. The L.A., Michael E. Mann, remarked in emails that he did not want to cast doubt on our ability to understand factors that influence these estimates, which would provide quote-unquote fodder to quote-unquote skeptics. One may interpret this to imply that being open and honest about uncertainties was not the purpose of this IPCC section. Between this email, 22 September 1999, and the next draft, two things happened. A, the email referring to a trick to hide the decline for the preparation of report by the World Meteorological Organization was sent, referring to a splicing technique used by the L.A. Mann in which non-paleo data were merged to massage away a cooling dip at the last decades of the original hockey stick. And B, the cooling portion of Briffa's curve had been truncated for the IPCC report. It is unclear as to who performed the truncation. So data which contradicted the hockey stick, whose creator was the L.A. Mann, had been eliminated. No one seemed to be alarmed, or in my case, aware, that this had been done. Procedures to guard against such manipulation of evidence are supposed to be in place whenever biases and conflicts of interest interfere with duties to report the whole truth, especially in assessments that have such potentially drastic policy implications. Close quote. Mann has never responded directly to Professor Christie's critique, but does like to sneer at him. Quote, it takes some real chutzpah for John Christie to be criticizing other scientists. Close quote. Scientist number 36. Quote, I never liked it that the 2001 IPCC report pictured Mann's without showing alternates. Mann is an outlier. Close quote. Dr. Curtis C. Covey, Ph.D., research scientist at the Program for Climate Model Diagnoses and Intercomparison at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Author of Vertical Correlations of Water Vapor in GCMs and Intercomparison of Climate Data Sets as a Measure of Observational Uncertainty. Mark. Not all climate scientists were happy with the prominence given to the hockey stick, or at least that's what they claimed with hindsight. On February 5, 2007, Dr. Covey responded to an email from A-list quote-unquote deniers, Viscount Monckton and Professor Fred Singer, as follows. Quote, re-high-resolution paleo data. I never liked it that the 2001 IPCC report pictured Mann's without showing alternates. Phil Jones' data was also available at the time. Focusing so exclusively on Mann was unfair, in particular to Mann himself, who thereby became the sole target of criticism in the Wall Street Journal, etc. It now seems clear from looking at all the different analyses, example as summarized in last year's NRC review by North et al., that Mann is an outlier, though not egregiously so. Of course, like any good scientist, Mann argues that his methods get you closer to the truth than anyone else. But the bottom line for me is simply that all the different studies find that the rate of warming over the last 50 to 100 years is unusually high. If you want to discuss any of this further, let me know. I attach my latest presentation and would appreciate seeing both Christopher's report mentioned in the journal editorial and Fred's comment on Rahmstorf's article published in Science. Best regards, Kurt. Close quote. Mark. Nothing wrong with a polite exchange with the other side, is there? Oh, dear, having been copied on the above, man was not happy, and didn't stop to spell check. Quote, Kurt, I can't believe the nonsense you're spouting, and I furthermore cannot imagine why you'd be so presumptuous as to entrain me into an exchange with these charlatans. What on earth are you thinking? You're not even remotely correct in your reading of the report. I find it terribly irresponsible for you to be sending messages like this to Singer and Monckton. You are speaking from ignorance here, and you must further know how your statements are going to be used. You could have sought some feedback from others who would have told you that you are speaking out of your depth on this. By instead simply blurting out all of this nonsense out in an email to these sorts charlatans, you've done some irreversible damage. Shame on you for such irresponsible behavior. Mike Mann. Closed quote. Scientist number 37, quote, Even I fell for this hockey stick, closed quote. Professor Fritz Varnholt, Ph.D., Professor of Chemistry at the University of Hamburg, Member of the Sustainability Advisory Board to Chancellors Angela Merkel and Gerhard Schroeder, Former Principal of the City of Hamburg Environmental Ministry, Head of the Department of Environmental Policy, Waste Management, and Air Pollution Control at the Hessian Ministry of Regional Development. Former researcher at the University of Munster, the Max Planck Institute for Carbon Research, and the German Federal Environmental Agency. Mark. On June 13, 2012, at the Royal Society in London, Professor Varnholt delivered the annual Global Warming Policy Foundation lecture. He described well the spectacular rise of man's stick. Quote, How often has this hockey stick been used as proof of the anthropogenic causes of climate change in recent years? Al Gore used the hockey stick in his infamous film, The Inconvenient Truth. Thousands of copies of this film were bought by the German Environment Minister to be shown to school children. Countless school children have been dragged into cinemas to watch this film. And even I fell for this hockey stick. We now know, thanks to Steve McIntyre and Ross McKittrick, that the statistical methods used by Malcolm Mann were flawed, and that many of the used tree ring data were questionable. The hockey stick had only one goal, to show that the temperature was flat, as the handle of a hockey stick, for centuries, and only rose steeply because of the CO2 emissions of the industrial age. We all should have been more skeptical. Where in the hockey stick was the little ice age of the 16th to 18th centuries, when it was bitterly cold in Europe and the successors of the Swedish king Gustav Adolf could carry out their conquest by marching on foot across the frozen Baltic Sea to Denmark? Famines dominated Europe, and on the frozen Thames winter fairs took place. The Bruegelschen pictures of Dutch winters are evidence of this. We know today that it must have been as much as 2 degrees Celsius colder than currently. And where in the hockey stick graph was the medieval warm period, when Eric the Red settled Greenland, and for 100 years a high culture developed? Recently, the retreating glaciers have released the remains of the Bishop's Sea of the time. A Norwegian scientist told me that recently drinking water wells from that period have been found, which are frozen in the lower part. It must therefore have been warmer in Greenland 1,000 years ago than today. Close quote. At the 2012 Swiss Energy and Climate Summit in Bern, Professor Varnholt debated Thomas Stoker, as Pierre L. Gosselin reported it. Quote, Varnholt presents the infamous Michael Mann hockey stick graph and says, quote, This graphic has been shown to be false and was even in part faked, closed quote. When asked why he went from being a warmist to a skeptic, Varnholt said he found too many things that didn't fit and was surprised to discover that Mann's stick was phony. Examining the science more closely, he found that many things just didn't add up. Close quote. Scientist number 38, quote, What Mike Mann continually fails to understand is that there is practically no reliable tropical data. We have no way of knowing how cold or warm the globe actually got. Close quote. Dr. David H. Rind, Ph.D., Emeritus Professor at NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. adjunct senior research scientist at Columbia University Center for Climate Systems Research, author of peer-reviewed papers published by Nature Science and other journals. Mark, Professor Tony Brown said that man's reconstructed planetary average is possibly representative of no climate state that actually ever existed. As a general rule, whenever a paper sets out to reconstruct the climate in an actual specific place, it finds proof of a medieval warm period. Yet man declared on the basis of a couple of proxies here and there that it was not a global phenomenon. Nor, in fact, was his hockey stick. It was a northern hemisphere reconstruction, although it was assumed to be, and not so subtly promoted as, a representation of quote-unquote global warming. Yet even his colleagues knew that. For many parts of the world, it stated something that could not be known. On April 27, 2005, Dr. Rind emailed fellow climate scientists Jonathan Overpeck and Eystein Jonsson read the upcoming IPCC Fourth Assessment Review. Quote, "Hi, Jonathan and Eystein. Concerning the hockey stick, which took up probably three-quarters of the review pages, what Mike Mann continually fails to understand, and no amount of references will solve, is that there is practically no reliable tropical data for most of the time period. And without knowing the tropical sensitivity, we have no way of knowing how cold or warm the globe actually got. Therefore, the detailed comments Mike provides concerning the extratropical issues, how much does snow cover alter the ground temperature versus the surface air temperature, are to some extent beside the point. I've made the comment to Mike several times, but it doesn't seem to get across. During the 20th century, according to Jim Hansen's temperature reconstruction, the tropical warming has been 60% of that in the extratropics, and that includes the amplifying AONAO extratropical change. I believe that in Mike's reconstruction, it averages about 30%. How well we know the numbers for the first part of this century is also somewhat uncertain, so I can't say Mike is wrong. But the point is, I don't know that he's right. Nor do I think anybody else knows, either. So what should we do about it? Basically, I think we should indicate that there are conflicting views concerning the actual global climate change during this time period. Quote the references, including the ones Mike provides. Note that there are uncertainties concerning the magnitude of the extratropical response, and that there is a paucity of tropical data, and leave it at that. Unsatisfying, perhaps, since people will want to know whether 1200 AD was warmer than today. But if the data doesn't exist, the question can't yet be answered. A good topic for needed future work." Close quote.